Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host. Great to be with you today. If you have been with us the last couple of weeks, you know that we are talking about the parables of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the sower. And then last week, we took up the parable of the tares in the crop. And so today, we're going to talk about the laborers in the vineyard. And this will be a message for every single person, whether you are saved, whether you are born again, or maybe you're not. And so there will be an evangelism thrust to this message. We want to pray and bless everyone that they can come into the kingdom, that they can receive their wages and receive everything that the good Lord has for them. And so listen carefully to this message, because some of you, this is going to touch you in your heart, and it's going to speak to you, because you are not sure if you're saved. You don't know if Jesus were to come back today, or if he were to come back tonight. You don't know for sure if you would be going with him or not. You don't know for sure if you're saved. You don't have that certainty in your heart and in your mind. And God wants you to be certain. John said in 1 John chapter 5 that you can be certain, that you can know that you are saved, that you can know without any doubt and without any uncertainty that you are saved. And that is God's will, that you be in that place today, that you have that certainty, that conviction, that rock solid belief, and that rock solid faith that comes with knowing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that you're going to spend all eternity with him. Well, this is Matthew chapter 20, and I'm going to read the first 16 verses here, so bear with me. It's a little bit of a long scripture, but in order to understand the whole passage and to understand what Jesus is teaching here, it is important that we read the whole thing. Verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius, that is a day's wage or a coin or amount of pay for a day's work, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle about. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. And he said to them, you also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. Verse 8, so when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius, or they received the same pay as those who had been hired first early in the morning. And so in verse 10, when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received their denarius, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But the landowner answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? And verse 14, take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Is your eye evil because I am good? And verse 16, so the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. Well, this is a very important teaching, because it teaches us the value of coming to know the Lord Jesus at any point in time in our life. That's what this whole passage of Scripture is about. The vineyard is the world out there. The laborers are in the vineyard. If you're laboring in the vineyard today, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are born again and you know the value of souls that Jesus wants to save, then you're going to be a laborer in the vineyard. I pray and I hope that every single one of you who knows Jesus that you are out there laboring in the vineyard. Don't be satisfied just to sit in the church. Don't be satisfied just to sit in another Bible study or sit in another church service and soak up a good sermon. Yes, all that is great. That's wonderful. I hope you go to church every Sunday. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying here. But I hope even more, and I pray even more, that the Lord of the harvest will beseech the workers to go forth into the harvest. And as we pray that Jesus will send forth workers into the harvest, that you will be one of those workers that will go into the harvest. And that is God's will for your life. That is His will for my life. Beloved, if you are doing that today, if you're doing that on a regular basis, you know the joy that comes with seeing others come into the kingdom. You know the joy that comes with sharing your testimony with other people. And so I don't have to tell you what a joy it is for you, and it's going to be for you to receive your wages, to receive your daily denarius, your day's wage, and you are going to receive that at the end of your life, however many days you're working for the kingdom. You can multiply those denarius by those number of days, and beloved, you're going to rejoice, and you're going to come into the kingdom, and Jesus is going to say to you, come in, my good and faithful servant, I have prepared a mansion for you, and come in and enjoy your place here in heaven with me. Well, the whole point of this parable, though, is that the ones who were hired at the 11th hour, they received the very same pay as those who were out there early in the morning, withstood the heat of the day, withstood the burden of the whole day's work. And so those that were hired at the 11th hour, they are going to receive the same compensation. And the ones who were out there early in the morning, they got envious. They got a little bitter about the situation because those who came in late received the same amount of pay as the ones who were hired early in the morning. And you can understand this is a human reaction. This is the way nearly all of us would react, that when others only work half a day and we put in a full day and they receive the same pay as we do, we're going to feel like we got cheated. We're going to feel like we were exploited and taken advantage of. Well, the landowner says, you agreed to work for a denarius. You agreed to do it. You were happy to make that agreement. And then you went out and worked and you received the pay that you agreed to. And so he said, this is the pay that you're going to get. And then the landowner says, can I not do with my money what I want? And so when I hire people at noon, if I want to give them a denarius, I can do that. Well, maybe in our viewpoint, it may not be the most fair way to do things. In America or most countries, when you pay somebody, if you pay them for a full day, they get a certain amount. If you pay them for a half a day, they get a certain amount. If you just hire them for 1 hour, they get another amount. But the landowner says, it is lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things. Is your eye evil because I am good? And so Jesus is saying, I can pour out my blessings on people in the way that I want to do it. I can pour out my rewards on people the way that I want to do it. And the reward Jesus is talking about is that reward of life in heaven, eternal life. The free gift of God is eternal life, and that is given to every single person, no matter when they come into the kingdom, if they come in when they're 6 years old, if they come in when they're 16 or 60 or 96. Beloved, I had the opportunity a few years ago to baptize a lady who had come into the kingdom just recently, and she was 96 and a half years old, and we went into the hot tub, the baptistry hot tub, and baptized her at the age of 96 and a half. And so praise God for that. She gets the same reward as those who were baptized when they were 7 years old or 6 years old. And that is God's will. I'm very happy for her. I'm happy for Jesus that He is able to disperse the joy and the crowns of His kingdom to those who come in at age 96, just like for those who come in at age 6. And so this is God's will. And Jesus said in verse 16, to wrap up this scripture, So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few chosen. Well, the last, sometimes people are in last place in the kingdom race because they don't know Jesus. And so they're in last place. They don't understand his will for their life. They don't know Jesus. They live their life. They take the hard knocks and the struggles of life without the comfort of knowing Jesus, without the wisdom and knowledge and counsel of the Holy Spirit. And God bless them if they finally turn to the Lord. I know some people that have had tremendous adversity in life, tremendous tribulation in life, and they finally understand through their pain, through their agony, through their beating their head against the wall and against closed doors, they finally understand that God has a better plan for their life, and they come to know Jesus. I've had the joy of seeing many, many in the prison who have taken the hard knocks of life, and they come into the kingdom when they're mid-aged or 40, 50, 30 years old, whatever, and they receive, beloved, the blessings and the joy of knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior, even at that point in their life. Even for those of you out there listening to me today, there are some of you out there, you don't know the joy of serving Jesus. You don't know the joy of knowing for sure that you are saved. God has a plan for you. God wants you to come into the kingdom. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done in your life. God has a plan for you. He wants you to come into the kingdom. He wants to give you the crowns of glory, the crowns of righteousness, the crowns that he has for you. All you have to do is come into the kingdom and say, Jesus, I repent of my sins. I lay down my pride. I lay down everything that I have for you. I want you to come into my heart, come into my life. I repent, I turn from my wicked ways, and I want to be first in your kingdom, Jesus. I want to go from last to first. The Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Beloved, there's some of you out there, your pride is standing in the way of you coming to Jesus. Your pride is keeping you out. You think you have everything together, but I say to you, your death will be staring you in the face one of these days, if not sooner than that. And so you need to lay down your pride, humble yourself, and let Jesus exalt you up to that first place in the kingdom. And every single person that comes to know the Lord Jesus, it says the angels in heaven rejoice over even one soul that comes to know the Lord. Even one soul that is taken from last to first, you will be rejoiced over in heaven by all the angels, by the saints, by those who have gone before you in your family, by Jesus and everyone else. And so praise God for that, that you can come to know him and you can be exalted to that first place in line. Well, unfortunately, some who are first here in this earthly race have accumulated lots of riches, lots of fame, lots of fortune, lots of accolades here in this earthly race. They're going to be last because this earthly race is going to be over soon enough. This earthly race is not our home. We're just passing through. And so when this earthly race is over, you better be ready to meet your Maker. You better be ready to meet your Creator, because when this earthly race is over, you may go from first to last. And I pray that is not you today. Beloved, I pray that you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and if you don't, that you repent and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and make that confession of faith in him before this broadcast is over today. Well, the rewards are plain enough. Read through the Bible. Heaven is for all those who love Jesus. God is not going to make anybody join him in heaven. He does not want to beat us into submission. He is not going to force us. And some people say, well, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Why is there so much chaos and mayhem in the world? Beloved, God gives us choice as human beings. He gives us free will and choice. He never overrides our free will. He never overrides our ability to choose him. He wants us to love him, but only through our own choice, only through our own free will. When we come to him, then God says, yes, you are a son of the living God. You are one of my children. And so heaven is for those who love Jesus and for those who have confessed his name. Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who's in heaven. And if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. And so heaven is saved and reserved only for those who love Jesus. What would the point be of having a place where there was no choice involved, and God had all these worshipers around him who were nothing but robots acting out of just a robotic initiation into the kingdom of heaven, but they really didn't want to be there. And so that is God's plan for us, that we choose it, that we love him, that we love Jesus, that we understand we are sinners, that we understand that Jesus died for us, and we choose to worship him, we choose to love him, we choose to serve him. And so our reward is, not only can we live the life for all eternity in heaven, but also we can attempt to live and start to live that heavenly life right here on this earth. We can walk in the anointing of heaven. We can walk under an open heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what we pray for, God is more than happy and willing and faithful to give us those things that we pray for when we are praying in the will of God and asking him for things that bring glory and honor to him in our life. And so that heavenly life that we look forward to after we die, we don't have to wait until we die before we can start to enjoy that life right here on this earth. Well, some of you out there, you're tired, you're weary, you're full of pride. And Jesus said to those in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, or all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some of you may be sick right now. You may be even facing some type of illness unto death. You don't know. It may be something very serious, some type of cancer or Alzheimer's or some other type of serious, very serious illness. You are very weary. You are heavy laden. You are burdened down with the cares of the world and the cares of your sickness and the depression of your sickness. And Jesus says to you, come unto me and I will give you rest. I will take your yoke, that burden that you have taken upon yourself. I will take that yoke off of you and I will put my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes, he can give that to you, and it can come at any age. It can come at the 11th hour. It can come at the 6th hour. It can come whenever you say you want it to come. But Jesus is not going to force himself upon you. God is not going to force himself upon you, and he is not going to beat you up to get you to submit to him. Well, Matthew 13:44 is another parable that describes the kingdom of heaven, and this is also your reward. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Beloved, is there anything in your life happening today that you would be willing to sell everything that you have to buy that field? Well, God knows your heart. He knows if you love your things more than you do him. He knows if you love the treasures of this earth, the things and the material blessings of this earth, do you love them more than the possibility, the hope for all eternity, the hope that does not disappoint? I would suggest lay down your pride, lay down your plan for your life, that you take up the cross of Jesus, that you deny yourself and take up the cross of Jesus and go with his plan for your life. You don't have to sell all your things. You don't have to give away all your things. But beloved, when you do, when you understand the value of the kingdom of God, you will be willing to give up some things. You will be willing to say, yes, Jesus, you're worth everything that I have. You're worthy of my praise. You're worthy of my worship. And I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to give you all the glory and the praise that I can give you. Well, there are crowns, beloved, that are saved up for us. There are crowns, there are rewards in heaven. I believe people, according to the work that they've done, their mansions are going to be different sizes. Some are going to have really big mansions in heaven, and others are going to have smaller abodes in heaven. And I believe that there are crowns saved up. The Bible speaks of several different crowns that God has for us and Jesus has for us when we embark on that journey into heaven for all eternity. One of these is the crown of righteousness. Paul talks about it in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:8. Paul says, "Finally, there is laid up for me," talking about himself, Paul, "there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing." Well, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will love his appearing. You will love it whether you're standing here on this earth and seeing him come back to rapture out the church, or you will see him at the millennium, at the end of the tribulation, or you will see him when you embark into your heavenly journey. But if you love his appearing, you're going to receive that crown of righteousness that he is going to place upon your head. Well, James 1:12 talks about the crown of life. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And so this crown of life will be given to all those who love Jesus, and that crown is saved up. God is not short on crowns. He's got many of them. He's not stingy. He's not a miser. He would like to see 7 billion people. I know some of them are already saved, but many, many of them are lost, and every day many of them are going into the broad road on their way to destruction. And so it is God's will that we get out and tell them about the good news of the gospel, that we get out and share the blessed hope with them, the hope that does not disappoint. And so they will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to all those who love him. Well, that is something you can look forward to, beloved, that crown of life when Jesus puts it on your head. And it can come for you. You may be laying on your deathbed right now, taking your last breath. But if you come to know the Lord Jesus on your deathbed, you will have that crown of righteousness. You will have that crown of life. And you will be ushered into the kingdom at the very same way as the ones who went out early in the morning to do the work. Well, 1 Peter 5:4, Peter talks about the crown of glory given to those who shepherd others. And beloved, if you are mature in your faith, or even if you're not, you still have a testimony. You don't have to be mature to teach others. You don't have to be a Bible scholar or have a Bible degree from some college. You can tell people about your testimony. You can tell people what Jesus has done for you and how he has touched you. And that testimony will have an impact on other people. That can be your teaching. Maybe you don't have time to get a degree. I didn't. I have an engineering degree, and I didn't want to go back to Bible school and get another degree. I just started studying the Bible, and God ordained me to go out and preach to the nations, and he can do the very same for you. And you can be an ambassador and one who shepherds others, one who leads others to the cross and leads others to the hope for all eternity, and you will receive that crown of glory just as Peter talks about. Well, beloved, I hope this message has hit you in a place where you know if you're saved that you can have those crowns, that you can have that denarius, that day's wage, you can have that great, great reward that Jesus has promised us, and that great reward will be yours if you say yes to Jesus. If you never said yes to Jesus, I pray that you would do that today. Confess of your sins, repent of your sins, and say, to someone else, just make a confession of faith to someone else. Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you went to the cross and died for me, and that you shed your precious blood for me, that you were resurrected on the third day, and that you sit at the right hand of God. And I commit my life to you. I want to be obedient to you, and I want you to be my Lord and Savior over my life today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. Beloved, if you make that confession of faith, if you make that confession and you want to share that with me, I would love to hear your confession. Email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know your decision, and I will get you some materials to help you on your way as you begin your Christian walk. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. As you're listening to this message today, I'm in Africa, and I am preaching the gospel to the lost and to the saved, everyone who wants to hear, in churches. And we're going into Tanzania in August for a big crusade in Dar es Salaam. And we're also going over to Burundi to preach a crusade there. And so I invite you to partner with Gather the Outcast Ministry. Store up your treasures in heaven as you see the kingdom of God move forward here in America and in Africa through Gather the Outcast Ministry. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd like to hear from you. God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.